most convenient option for customers.
So that everybody is trying to capitalize on that. The consumer wants free shipping, and they want it right away, period.
And if you don't give that to them?
You got a problem because your competitor will.
It's not about which store or brand has the keys to our brain. It's about which retailers can get in line first. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
Operators are standing by. Call now for your subscription to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, to take a look at what's been happening in the agricultural markets overnight. The national average basis for corn, by the way, was a penny stronger. That at 29 cents under the December futures contract, the DTN National Corn Index, that's the cash price, was up 8 cents at $3.45 a bushel. The national average for beans, up 2 cents at 49 cents under the January. The DTN Soybean Index, or the cash price, price 19 cents higher at $10.02 a bushel. Now, here with an update of the weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
A little wintry mix of precipitation will be occurring across the Midwest during the course of the day today, especially in the western and some southern locations. The precipitation is not expected to be very impressive, but it will cause some travel issues from Minnesota and portions of eastern South Dakota this morning through Iowa into southern portions of Illinois and portions of Indiana as we move on into the night tonight and early tomorrow. The system will move fairly quickly. It'll be difficult for significant amounts of snow to accumulate as it moves along this path, but we will find at least a dusting upwards to 1, maybe 2 inches in a couple of counties. The majority of this precipitation, though, will just create a little bit of a slowdown in travel across the region. There shouldn't be any major accumulations, and visibilities are not expected to drop very low in most cases. The moisture content in the precipitation will be low as well, probably running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe a maximum of 15 hundredths of an inch. The precipitation is not likely to be significant in the eastern portions of the Midwest. Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana may see some snow flurry or snow shower activity, but there's certainly not going to be any organized precipitation over this next two-day period. Lake effect snows will continue to occur across portions of the Great Lakes region, however. A surface high pressure center will push through the heart of the Midwest as we go into the day on Thursday and Friday, so travel across the region is expected to be mostly favorable. As the high pressure system leaves the region, a warm front is expected to form across the upper parts of the region. That warm front will then set off a little bit of a wintry mix of precipitation, most of which will occur as snow, and most of which will be confined to the northernmost parts of the region in Minnesota and Wisconsin primarily. The system will move off to the east as we move into the weekend, Friday night into early Saturday, so parts of Michigan may also see a little bit of precipitation from this event. Another disturbance will move through the northern plains and into the upper Midwest as we go into the rest of the weekend. A dusting to an inch or an inch and a half of snow may occur in some areas again in the uppermost parts of the region. In the meantime, the heart of the Midwest will be dealing with generally dry conditions. I say generally because there will be a little bit of an influx of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico taking place as we go from Saturday into Sunday, and during that period of time, a few showers may pop up, and that will disrupt some of the drying that's going to be badly needed across the Midwest through these next several days. That will also set the stage for greater amounts of precipitation to evolve next week. The Midwest will be subjected to another storm system of size, and this moisture influx from the Gulf of Mexico over the weekend will set the stage for that storm system to begin producing moisture of significance across the area as we move into the middle part of the week. Another strong surface high pressure center will push into the Midwest first, and that will likely occur Sunday into Monday. That'll clear the skies out. There may be a little bit of light snowfall that occurs just ahead of that, but it won't accumulate significantly. The temperatures will turn quite a bit cooler as that cold high pressure center moves into the region. Our temperatures over the next few days will be cool, but not necessarily a problem. We'll look for the high temperatures today, 30s and 40s across a big part of the Midwest, with some teens and 20s in the far north. northwest. We'll look for high temperatures tomorrow, mostly teens and 20s again in the upper Midwest, and look for 30s and some 40s in the rest of the region. The cooler air will retreat back to Canada shortly after that, and temperatures will actually warm up a bit over the weekend. A big part of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest will see highs in the 50s and perhaps even some lower 60s as we go from Sunday into Monday. But quickly, right after that, there'll be another surge of colder air coming in behind the midweek storm system. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Let's take a look at what's happening in the Chicago CME group numbers at this time. December corn is a penny and three quarters higher, 376 there. July up a penny and three quarters, and December of next year up 1 cent. January beans are down 5.5 at 1045 and a half. The March there down a nickel. July down 3.75. November trading at this point in Chicago down 2.25 cents. Bean meal up $1.60. Bean oil down a nickel. Wheat futures are trading the nearby December at 5.54 and a half, up 3 cents. And that's for the soft red. The hard red December at 6.21, 3.75 higher. Live cattle futures at 170, 12.5. They're 2.5 cents lower. Feeder cattle are up 7.5 at 231.45 in the lead. And December lean hogs at $90.52 and a half are down 42.5 cents. Let's check in on how this trade ensued overnight and what the expectations for the day are with Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you again.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. There are things that producers are going to have to think about as we head into the end of the year, and it's not just about the holiday season.
Unfortunately not. One of the things that we're getting pressed on first thing this morning is a lot of guys have some grain in the elevator that needs to be priced. They've probably got some basis fixed or something like that, but their free period of storage is coming to an end. And realistically, we're trying to see what's the incentive to carry this inventory forward and what's going to be the cost of it. Corn in particular, they're trying to get us to store it. They're charging us a fair amount, but the fact of the matter is, if you're at 15 under or worse right now and you try to roll that out to the March, you're going to be underwater by 30 cents, maybe even more. I had some local guys talking about maybe even 40 cents under. Really can't justify that at this point in time. So what we're going to probably do on corn in particular is push it out the door and then look at some reownership, maybe some immediate reownership right out of the gate. Not necessarily all of it, but some of it. The charts look price positive to some degree. There's not a real good catalyst. And when you get into holiday mode, like you mentioned, it gets very difficult because if your compass starts to spin over the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're not going to get your bearings probably till after the first of the year. So we need to be mindful of that. So pre-planning your marketing process is really important. Beans, we've been trying to get beans pushed out the door pretty much on a regular basis. Today or Friday is going to be real critical because our old high in the January beans was 11.59 and a quarter at the end of October. And realistically, we're within a nickel of that today or last night. If we eclipse that mark on a closing basis, it does open up some upside. We can't hardly justify it, but we have to be realistic because we can't predict the future and say that that might open up some upside. But we continue to push beans out the door as well. But if we happen to close above that 11.59 and a quarter, it may prompt us to do some reownership there as well.
Okay, so today and Friday, important dates. How is it, and I know that the beans haven't turned yet, but they're on that brink for you at least. How is it that we have turned a fundamentally enormous crop into something that can manage to rally other than a simple seasonal move higher?
Well, I think it goes back to something we touched based on 3 or 4 weeks ago, was the structural shift in psychology of this market from being totally undersupplied to all of a sudden the USDA saying we're totally oversupplied. And going through that process, we're probably not as oversupplied as we would like. And going through the harvest process, the weather was not overly conducive. Some of the yields in some areas were not as prevalent as we would have liked them to be. So we still have to work through that process of having nothing to having something. And that's probably really what we're working through. And probably by January, we should have a pretty good handle on it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Bill Gentry. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Checking the numbers again in Chicago, corn futures are up 1 to 2 cents. Bean futures are down 3 to 4 for the morning. Wheat futures in the nearby are up 4 cents. Bean meal up $1.40. Bean oil 2 cents lower. Live cattle futures are 35 to 15 cents lower. Feeder cattle are up 7 to 2.5 cents. And lean hogs are about 30 cents lower for the day. The outside market shows crude oil at $73.57 a barrel, down 52 cents. Gasoline on the wholesale price, or the RBOB, at $2 a penny and 9 tenths. A penny and 2 tenths lower. Ethanol futures are $2.10, up 4 and 2 tenths of a cent. And the spread between those two is now 8 and a tenth of a cent wide. That's not very wide, and it's 5 and 4 tenths of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana, and you can find us online at will.illinois.edu, or agricultural programming at willag.org. That's willag.org. On our way today to a high of 36 degrees on east-southeast winds at 5 to 8 miles an hour under cloudy skies. A 20% chance of snow before midnight this evening. A cloudy low of 22 degrees on an east-northeast wind at 6 to 8. And then on Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy and a high near 29. Northwest winds tomorrow at 9. 9 to 15 miles an hour. It's the top of the hour.
Good morning. Darren Wilson speaks out. The Ferguson police officer who shot and killed Michael Brown says he feels sorry for the loss of life, but his conscience is clear. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Coming up, we'll hear about the Justice Department's investigation into a possible pattern of discrimination within Ferguson's police force. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Solar's day in the sun may have finally arrived. Solar power is getting cheaper. And why some say the federal government should get a bigger share of gas royalties for drilling on public land. Plus, Chris Kimball serves up dishes for a Thanksgiving feast that has something for everyone, be they vegan, gluten-free, or paleo. And on this Wednesday, November 26th, cartoonist Roz Chast turns 60. News is next.